Welcome to Stories of Hope with our special edition of Rich Tapestries. Good to see you again, Nuria. Welcome.
Hi, Bryce. Good to see you too.
Fantastic. We've got a special guest again today. Would you like to introduce our wonderful new guest?
Absolutely. And I would like to say Mingalaba and Namaskaram and a warm welcome to our beautiful listeners to our another episode of Rich Tapestries. And yes, today, as Bryce mentioned, we are diving into a conversation that's as rich and flavorful as the curries me and Sugu adore. So, friends, I'm coming to you from Broken Hill in New South Wales, where the outback meets the heart of community spirit. And I'm thrilled to introduce someone whose story is woven with threads of faith, of culture, and a shared passion for cooking and gardening. Please join me in welcoming Major Sugu Meredith, co-officer at Broken Hill Corps, alongside her husband, Major Kevin Meredith. Born in Yangon, Myanmar, to a Burmese Indian family, Sugu grew up immersed in the Salvation Army with her both parents serving as envoys. So definitely, we are wanting to hear a lot more from you, Sugu. And Sugu was married to Kevin in 2005, and they are parents to two beautiful kids. When Sugu is not serving the community, she can be found in the kitchen crafting delicious curries, stir-fries, noodles, puris. Oh, the list goes on. And tending to her garden, a true reflection of a nurturing spirit. So friends, if you ever find yourself in Broken Hill, don't miss the chance to visit Sugu at Broken Hill Corps. She is truly renowned for her warm hospitality and delicious homemade meals. And it's more than just a meal. It's an opportunity to experience the heart of the community and share in the fellowship that makes Broken Hill so special. So grab a chai, a cup of Indian warm chai, or in Burmese, lap peye, that's tea, and join us as we explore the rich tapestry of Sugu's journey. Sugu, Joseph Badi, you're very, very welcome.
Thank you so much, Brian and Naree, and thank you for your time. And it's so privileged to be here and so privileged to be part of my life and part of community to share with you all. And I am so grateful.
Tell me, Sugu, a little bit about your childhood, about exactly where you were born and what your mum and dad did for a living.
I was born in Yangon, and Yangon is from Myanmar, and my father has come from India. So I was born and growing up in Burmese Indian culture community, and both of my parents are Salvation Army officers as envoys, and they were safe many, many years. And I was born in the Salvation Army officer quarter, growing up in the Salvation Army family.
Okay. Can I ask how your parents came to be in the Salvation Army? What's their story of entry into the Salvation Army?
My father has originally come from the war time and from India, of course, under the British government. And they were trained in Ceylon, and then they come to Myanmar. My dad have a family as three boys that he was growing up with, and he decided to serve the called, and at the same time he wanted to save his brothers that who was already married and children. With my dad, he loved the Lord and he's a very faithful man. That's one thing that wasn't his choices. But after the war, that his heart is led to rebuilding the damage has done from the world. So he was trying to be rebuilding the churches and rebuild the people who surrounding with him. So he's from the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Yangon, but in India also the Baptist Church as well. And his ministry is under Emmanuel Baptist Church, Telugu Baptist Church. And and time go by, he also connection with the Salvation Army officers, Captain Paul, who was a Telugu Corps officers at the time. And Captain Paul and my dad become a good friends. And Captain Paul is getting old at the time. So he was asked, is my dad is able to continue minister in the Salvation Army. So Dad, Dad asked the Baptist Congress to give permission for changing the order. So they did sign off. So then he became a Salvation Army as an envoy, as a young man. Mm. And then he started ministry outreach in Yangon. So that's where my mom has come to the Salvation Army outreach program. So those young two people has met in the outreach, and then they married and we born. And then mom become an envoy together with Dad. And then, yes, ministry go on.
Beautiful.
Wonderful story. And so you went to school as a young girl in that little village. Tell me a bit about that. What was that like for you?
I was born in city, which is
Yangon City.
Our school was it's very big school, and it's very special for all girls.
All girls.
Yes.
Fabulous. Yeah. Yes, and did you do well at school? Were you clever? Liked the books, or were you sporty or musical? What did you do?
We don't have a lot of sports like Australia, but I was a good student, I'll say. Yes.
Yeah.
Steady, very, very hard.
Right.
And teachers love me, and I love my teachers and my friends. And continue on the friends on my Facebook, my teacher from the year 2 and year 4 and year 7. And I stay connection with them through Facebook.
I see.
Yes.
And as a teenager, did you rebel, or were you a good girl right through your teenage years? Or what were you like as a 12, 13, 14-year-old?
My dad promoted to glory when I was teenage. Yes. Yeah. I become a bit more mature to understand how his life lead. And my sister is already commissioning young lieutenant at the time. And she was in the commissioning by appointment and where she lived. So I have with mom. And I have two youngest brothers to also, you know, support the boys and also mom where I was in high school. Yeah.
Right. Yes. So you had to grow up quite quickly by the sounds of it.
Yes, I am.
So Sugu, it sounds like, you know, with your bringing, it did provide a strong foundation for your calling, considering, you know, you grew up in this strong Christian background. How did this early experiences influence your approach to ministry when, you know, you first joined the army?
My mum and dad are very faithful, and we have been in the ministry already in the childhood. You know, there's Sunday school, the home league, Leo Marcy, whatever they go, whatever they do, we was with our parents. Even the Bible study at home, the homes open as a church, and people coming to us, so we always in the ministry. But one thing as a young person that I would like to have a very high educated and very high standard of life, that's my dream. So in saying that, I will not choose for the limited income that my parents has owned it as a young person, say so much dream. But in saying that, my father was always, you know, our birthday camp, we have to have a cake, celebrate, Dad will be blessing to us. Meals, we have a pray, and anytime exam come, Dad will bless me a day before I go to school. So much is his spiritual mentoring is empower me every minute of it, even then. I want to be in my own desire. But when the time come, the Lord speak to me, and I said to the Lord that, Lord, I want to be you know, it's a better and richer life, but I don't understand what does a rich mean. A rich man is many way you can reach for. But however, I have many tears in mercy seat, because I know I have been denying it. And my spirit is telling me to honor his call. And I pray and I cry. And one day we have a officers come from New Zealand, Major Janet Smithy, who is the regional officers. And she came, the program we was running, the woman retreat. And I was always a back support to my sister, morning teas, preparation, all this stuff. And then Major Smithy come to the kitchen and the back room and said, Suku, I want to talk to you. And I was worried. She's a major. I was worried. What's major want to talk to me? I was a young girl. And she said, she holding my hand and she said, Suku, I see that the Lord is, you know, leading you. And he was speaking to me. And I want you to be a Salvation Army officer. And I said, no, thank you, Major. but
because that's a lot of respect you hold, right?
But she said, yes, I see that. You pray about the Sugu. You pray about that, she said.
Yeah.
But I pray about that. Then I said, yes, Major. And then I become a Corps cadet and cadet and commissioning in 2002, and my life is totally understand what is the richness of the blessing. So I just become a owner to his call.
Wow. And so this is when you're still a teenager, is that right? You're still, how old were you when this happened, would you say?
Yes, so teenage is mentoring by my dad.
Yep.
So become an officer is after 20. So I was commissioning in 25. A cadet's training in 25 and commissioning in 27.
I see.
Age of 27, yeah.
Sure.
Wow. And did you do some work? Like, did you get a job after school? What did you do with your time after school before you went to college?
Yeah. I was a tutor. I was teach the children the school works. I love the children. I love to teach the children. My first work is Salvation Army Girls' Home. I was teaching the girls, 60 plus, and I'm mentoring and teaching them as a tutor.
Did you teach, Suvu?
The teacher is a tutoring the children. Right?
Did you do? Did you do maths or history or English?
All subject.
All the
all
subjects.
Subjects.
Yeah. Okay. All subjects they learn from school. So all the students have their textbooks at home.
Yeah.
So the textbooks that we will follow up to help them to the school.
So was it in Burmese language you taught?
English, their subject, and also mathematics. And also the history, sometimes geography, the science. So when they go to high school, they have a choices to make if they take biology, chemistry, physics, that's all in English.
Yes.
And if they take chemistry, history and geography, that's all in Burmese language.
Okay. And so you became an officer in your hometown. And did you stay there? Or I guess I'm trying to get to the journey that got you to Australia and married to this Aussie bloke. How did that journey take place?
Yes. So I was commissioning 2002 and I was actually appointed to Corps and also assist with another major that assists with me.
Yep.
And I also have a kinetic helper. So I got four of us in one team and ran the two Corps. And Kevin has arrived to 2002, October, November, surrounding that time. And so I was a little bit struggled to taking as a Corps officer for two different Corps. It's one is across the river.
Yeah.
It is a place is a bit similar to Bangladesh. So the Tri shores and ferries and the other side is across the other river side from the Yangon city. Two of the Corps are Indian speaking languages. So one is my mom and dad called Telugu Corps. Another one is Tamil Corps, is Telugu. However, Kevin has been supporting me to music for Sunday worship and teaching kids a keyboard and this sort of thing that he was become a friend and support to come to Corps sometime. And also I will see that he need support with the culture, you know, it's a cultural barriers, languages barriers. So I was always there. So our friendship is support to each other as need. And then also our friendship is growing in love. And then So he proposed me one day. And I said I will thinking to love to marry him, but only way is he's not an officer at the time, so I don't know the answer. But I said he have to pray about that, and because I give my life to ministry all of my life that I want to commit it to. So if he not committed, that then how could I say? If he committed, then I would say yes. Then we both need to be pray about that. And then one day Kevin come up and say yes, he want to support me my ministry, and he want to take another step. So he's become a cadet under Singapore, Malaysia, Myanmar territory, but he was based in Yangon as his work as community developing project. And he was distant education from Singapore, but the second years he completed in the training college in Singapore.
Okay. So you when did you get married? Which year was that?
2005, August.
2005. And so when you got married, did you come down to Australia immediately, or were you still serving in Burma?
No, we was in Myanmar. Kevin was go to Singapore and come back, things like that. Every 3 months he have to go to his work and trainings. And we have already have our firstborn. Naomi was already with us.
Oh, beautiful. So have how many children you have, Sagu?
Two children.
Excellent. As you said, Naomi was born in Burma.
Yeah.
And how, I believe then, obviously, after you would have come to Australia. So how has walking life and ministry with an Australian partner impacted your cultural understanding and spiritual growth?
Yeah. One thing I was very blessed is Kevin was very understandable. And he's loved the Lord, and he learned to understand the culture. So they wasn't have any issue between us. So we work things together. I have also much support from my family as well. So my mom will be always there if I need to be Naomi, someone or mom to look after Naomi. She's always there, things like that. And also I take to the Naomi to the core that the core members is some of them my family, and they also take care of. And it's not that Naomi also very blessed to be looking after and support from some of the big girls from the children hall. And they are already independent or finished uni at the time or still learning life skills. So they are also like a very close, friends, family. So they love Naomi very much. So she was loved from many of us. The family, the friend, Salvation Army College friends, and things like that. And then 2009, we come to Australia. So before that, we are in Singapore. When Kevin finished the training college, we're in Singapore. Yes. So the first time that our commissioner said I can visit to Kevin where he was in training college.
Yes.
And then he asked me how I find in Singapore. He said, you would like to move your appointment to Singapore while Kevin finishing training college. So I said, yes, I will. Yep. And then we moved to Singapore. Yep. And then I was assistant corps officer in Williamborough Corps in Singapore. Yep. Yeah. And Major Pascal is a corps officer, an assistant corps officer, but I'm not ready to preaching at the time in English yet. Yeah. But I lead the service, and I lead a home league and Bible study group in the Peacehaven Nursing Home, which is a lot of Burmese nurses are working in Peacehaven Nursing Home. So I was to the Bible study group, big, large number of Burmese nurses in Peacehaven. Yes. And that was the ministry go on. And then Kevin is commissioning around the time. Our commissioner said, we will commissioning, after the commissioning, we'll send you to Australia. And Kevin was very happy. He being a long time in Myanmar and Singapore, so he was very happy. And they said, we're sending to Wanthagi Corps, which is in Victoria. And Kevin was very, very happy. And if you're happy, I'm happy. I didn't know what does Wanthagi Corps look like. But we were very excited. And we happy come home. As long as we're landing in the airport in the Christmas Eve, 2009, the personal secretary, Julie Spiller, was open arm and come and see us in the airport and welcoming into the Australia territory. And it was landing, the plane was early morning. She had been so early morning airport waiting among our family. So it's, I feel very welcome to come to Australia and very blessed. And she supported me to all paperwork need to done in transaction time. And I was very blessed.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Such a testament to faith, you know, and dedication and, you know, bringing two different cultures together. Thank you so much for sharing, Sugu.
It sounds like Julie's involvement there to just get you settled and look after some of the paperwork and things like that was really important to you, because that's quite scary, isn't it? Even with an English and Australian husband to know that you're safe there and have someone like Julie on your team, it sounds like a really important part of the transition.
Yes. So Julie is an overseas officer personnel. So she's very lovely. She's a woman of God.
Yes, Julie was actually on training college staff when I was an officer, so I know Julie.
Right, you have to come.
Yes,
right, knows everyone.
Yes, good, lovely.
That's great.
All that being said, I'm sure it was a big change for you to come from Burma to Australia, and especially to a little country town like Wanthagi. Tell me a bit about what were the challenges of transitioning to Australian culture for you.
Yes, I'm learning about the culture, and I also already some level of understanding to being with Kevin. And Kevin has been very understanding and explaining how is Australia look like and the people look like, and I was I was some understanding already there. The transition for me to taking a officer in Australia is a bit more far I'm expecting than it is, because the ministries, every country, every culture is different. So we have to learn so much about, for example, doorways, you know, is emergency call and response, and precisely with your leading the congregation and and so on. But we was very blessed. And in this in the same time, the Lord is sending me that the time is correct in his hand. Is same time 2009 in Wanthagi, Australian government sent a 6 refugee family to Australia. So they are Karen from the refugee camp, and they will start settling in Wanthagi. So 2009, so I was able to minister to them. So because they was don't understand or speak English, so we are able to, you know, even then they don't know how to spread the bread with the jam and, you know, things like that.
Did you teach them how to eat Vegemite?
Yes, I do. They don't like it.
They don't like it.
Oh, they don't like it. Oh, I love Vegemite.
How wonderful that your culture was useful in the ministry in Wanthagi. You would never have dreamed that, would you, that there would be a real urgent need for someone like you to be just the right person in the right time at that place. It's very special.
And also adapting to like new culture when staying true to your roots, it's commendable, right? So what aspects of Australian culture did you find actually anything challenging, and how did you overcome them?
This is a learning curve for me, because the Burmese, and you come from the culture was like someone coming to knock your door or whatever. You just ask them to come in and let them sit, make cup tea, and then you talk about that, why they're here for, you know. But Australian culture is a bit more, you need to notify before you coming in. If you was not notified coming in, then and you may not quite coming to sit and chat like that. So that's make me a little bit difficult for me to adjusting that, because I would like to open the doors and they're coming in, just sit down, have a cup of tea. That's what I was coming from.
Yeah.
So, but in time, this is growing and understanding that.
Yeah.
So yes, it is good. Yeah.
Mm. Is Australian humour a difficult thing for you to navigate from your culture to Australian culture? Like, Australians can be quite abrupt and even rude sometimes. So has that been a challenge to you? You seem like a very polite and gentle sort of person, and I'm trying to be very careful not to say anything silly.
No, that's all right. I find it even my own children, you know, they talk about everything dinner table, which is we don't normally do that.
But that's anyway, right.
And Kevin was like, this is Aussie culture, Siku, so we just laugh and, yeah, that's fine, but why not, you know?
Yeah. Is there anything that you really miss about your home culture, the way you do things that you find is not in Australian culture?
I miss the culture is a bit more is, you know, food and gather together.
Yeah.
Even then saying that we have invited so many people, even in our community, that like from Ali people that come from India or Nigeria, or we meet those people time to time. So we just welcome them to our home to get to know them, have a meal with them, and then see what other thing that we may able to suggesting or helping them. Some of the kids is actually go to school with my children. So that was really helpful to give that support. Mm. So we stay open and doing like a food and fellowship. Is always bringing people together. So that's allowing us to be know a bit more about them and more about us. And it's that trust has come as well in the fellowship and time go by. Yeah.
So now that we have spoken about food, you know, you love cooking and gardening when we spoke earlier, and you mentioned that you're really passionate. So how do these passions reflect or feed into your ministry? Is there a favorite dish or homegrown veggie that speaks to your ministry heart?
I would come from the background from the, you know, it's like my mother, my grandmother, she's a good cook. We was, because we got seven of us in the family. So any time the newborn come, we have to stay with grandma for time.
Yeah.
And then also a lot of visiting to grandma home.
Uh-huh.
And my grandma would cook breakfast every day. Right? Cook breakfast.
That's a tradition. Yeah.
Yes. And my dad were going to go to my grandma house for his newspaper and have coffee and breakfast. Okay.
So buy a cooked breakfast. What food are you actually talking about with the cooked breakfast? Is that bacon and eggs on toast or something different?
Something different.
What
like
is it?
Like a rice pancake we call dosa.
Dosa,
rice pancake. And she'll cook with the chutney and, you know, it's the lentils and potato curry or whatever. So that with the
breakfast.
Coffee. Yeah, that's breakfast. Yeah.
Breakfast. Curry for breakfast.
Yes, curry for breakfast. Yeah, they all come in with the little bowls, the little sauce things, with the doshas, and you're dipping into the sauce, and it's so yummy. It is good.
Yeah,
that's
good. Yeah.
And she'll make some other thing like upma sometime. Upma is made from the rice as well. Yes. She make all sort of things. However, precisely with that, I was seeing that. To knowing that, enjoying that, you know, come from the background. And again, mom is a good cook too.
Yeah.
And anytime coming to Easter, Christmas, we have a family that 30 or more is mom's side of family that they're always welcome. So my auntie and uncle with the kids, and we got a big party at home. So it's coming with a like background like that, a family that I always love to cook. And food is the love that you're giving. To bring to the table, so you put the effort in it and you bring that love surrounding with the table who's sitting with you, and that was my passion.
Yeah.
And also this passion is also I have gifted. That hospitality lead me to the ministry as well.
Sure.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. And you find yourself in Broken Hill these days, which is a very sort of a remote mining town in the middle of Australia, very hot. What's that been like for you?
Yes, we live Broken Hill cool, which is Broken Hill is very similar to Wonthaggi many years ago. Wonthaggi is a coal mining town. And Broken Hill is a mining for silver, zinc and gold and whatever. People are very unit community in Broken Hill. Very lovely people, very humble, honest, and we're loving it in Broken Hill. And we continue connection to a lot of community group.
Yeah.
Like school group, you know, health services like Merrima and social services like Mission Australia and Flourishes Head Place. So they are all as, you know, Salvation Army as bringing the Salvation Army value into the community. So we haven't make so much connection with them, as well as a cool ministry itself. And we have family store, it's just run by cool. And we was very blessed too. So the part of the outreach ministry is a family store. And we also start a second bike for fruit and veggie, Wednesday and Friday last 2.5 years ago. Yes. Which is we got 40 families and each day we have connection with. So each Wednesday and Friday. So which is very good.
Wow. Yeah, wonderful.
That's very inspiring. And so we're working in Broken Hill with diverse community needs. You know, now that you mentioned you are doing so many different things, can you share a moment where your multicultural background became an asset in ministry, one that maybe showcased the beauty of intercultural connection?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So I have a lot of connection with the Indian community here.
Yeah.
Because we was in remote area, New South Wales, Broken Hill. We got lots of nurses and doctors that come from India and also other country too. And now another doctor has come from Nigeria, as I was mentioned that the family moved to. But Indian nurses are always working in hospitals in here. One of the girls actually go to school with Naomi, and now they moved to Queensland. With this community being here in Broken Hill, and so I have been connection with them, with the Indian community web app, and everyone in the WAP app, that's what's going on. And then also Salvation Army welcomed them to be used the YB Hall for their birthday party and also their anniversary and things like that. So they are coming, like they all working, so they use it evening, like they 7 o'clock gather together. They finish 9:30, 10:30. We are part of that. And lots of food and lots of dancing, singing, kids as games, and it's very enjoyable time. And we're part of that community, part of the family and friends. And sometime I have privilege to say the word of prayer with those group and blessing to the children, which is very blesses in many ways.
That's beautiful. Like a celebration of unity and diversity. And you're trying to build that rapport and connection with these communities, which is just wonderful. So Sugu, one last question to yourself would be, what would you encourage our listeners to do? So whether they are cooking or gardening or serving, to embrace intercultural kingdom work in their own communities, in their own cause?
I would say we all have a different gift. We may not all the same, but we are bring all different plate to the kingdom of God.
Beautiful.
So that bring the very colorful and is a different, you know, is a ministry we can offer to. So I want to, all of us, whoever listening or joining us today, please consider what is your gift the Lord is giving to you and listening to his voice and refresh on that. and contribute it as you can. For example, my husband is very good at music, and that's part of his gift. And he is part of that ministry that continue he can minister to in the community, like BIU band, town band, you know, the cool carol services. That's his ministry, but while I was cooking. So we all have a different gift. So please consider and contribute it. And if your heart is lead you, the Holy Spirit will bless you to more as a fruit that comes. So that is my word. Yeah,
that is so beautiful. I truly love it. It's such a beautiful invitation, Sugu, to and an encouragement to each one of us to use our own gifts, recognize and use them. So thank you so much for joining us today and sharing in this beautiful conversation, Sugu. You're just you know, your journey is a testament to faith, to resilience, and the power of embracing both heritage and community. So to our listeners, we hope you have been inspired to reflect on your own paths and consider how you can serve and connect across cultures in your own communities. So we will be back next month with another inspiring story, but until then, may you find peace in your journey and purpose in your service. And in Burmese, I would like to say, Sugu, correct me if I'm wrong, Nau Taka Dyantui Bami, which
well done.
Thank you so much. See you next time and stay blessed.
Bye for now.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you both of you. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Sugu.